నమస్కృత్యం
నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవిం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయామదీరే నష్టప్రాయేషు భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతే ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. ఉమగ్యాభిరాందస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకే చక్షురోన్మిళితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురున్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగర జాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణలిత శ్రీశాఖాన్వితాంశ. హే కృష్ణకరుణా సింధవ దీనబంధవ జగత్పతే గోపేష్ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగి రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యస్య కృపా సింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. So welcome all of you to this 7 days program on the introduction to Bhagavad Gita or the Bhagavad Gita course. We just had Bhagavatam in Hindi and we'll be talking on Bhagavad Gita on different subject matters starting from today. The subject for today is introduction to Bhagavad Gita. So there are so many people in this world. We have lakhs and lakhs of people, millions of people in this world. Even in this small suburb of Bombay, we have thousands and thousands, lakhs of people. Many were approached, many were given the handouts. Many knew such program is happening, but only very few chose to come here. Very few thought, let me just see what's there in the Bhagavad Gita. What is the reason for which you chose to come to this course? And what is the reason many others in this world, in this city, chose not to come? What brought you here and what made them not to come here? That is a very important quality which is there within you, because of which you are here. So what is that quality? The quality is jigyasa. It is explained in the Vedanta Sutra in the beginning itself. Athato brahma jigyasa. Athato, atha means now. Now means now, since now we have got the human form of life. Athato is made up of two athas. One atha means now. Now, since we have got the human form of life, therefore. The second atha means therefore. So now, therefore, inquire into the absolute truth. So that is the first and the foremost responsibility for a human being, is to inquire. Inquire into the higher realms of existence. Generally, we all inquire. But our inquiry is restricted to four things. Where can I get better food? Ahara. Where can I get a better facility to sleep? Nidra. Where can I get a better facility for my security? Bhaya. Where can I get a better facility for my family life? Maitunamcha. So these are the four characteristics of an animal. Nitopadesha says, Ahara, Nidra, Bhaya, Maitunamcha. Samanya Vedat Pashupir Naranam Dharmo Yeko Yiko Vishesho Dharmena Vihina Pashupir Samana Ahara Nidra Bhaya Metunamcha. Ahara means food. Bhaya means a silly feeling of security. Ahara Nidra. Nidra means sleep. And Metunamcha means family life. See, these four things are common. Samanyam etat pashupir naranam. For both humans and animals, these four things are common. Then what is a special thing? What is the speciality of human being? What is the thing by which we can say that I am a human? If you are restricting our life to these four things, if we are restricting our inquiry and pursuit for these four things, then we can be called no better than an animal. There should be some speciality for a human being. What is that speciality which makes us a human? That is dharmo hi ekodiko visheshu. It is a dharma which makes us or qualifies us to be human. Dharma means to follow a set of rules and regulations. The general tendency of everyone in this world, especially the young generation, the youth is, we don't want any rules and regulations, we just want to be free. Whatever comes to our mind, we want to do it. But we cannot achieve anything without following the rules and regulations. We cannot be happy without following the rules and regulations. Even in the materialistic realm, if you want to be successful in anywhere, you have to follow certain rules. Without rules, you cannot do anything. Even take, for example, a game of football. There are certain rules and regulations to play the football. If you want to get some enjoyment of playing a football, you have to follow those rules. Without following the rules, if you just kick the ball into the goal, it's not called a goal. And there are rules everywhere. So being born as a human, we are supposed to follow certain rules and regulations. Without following the rules and regulations, dharmena vihina pashupir samana. Actually, for a pashu there are no rules and regulations. For animals, no rules. Sometimes there is a traffic jam. You are so frustrated, you get down from the car and then see why the traffic jam is there. You go and see, there is a big buffalo sitting at the crossroads. And the policeman is just driving the buffalo out. And after driving the buffalo out, the policeman will not go and give a 500 rupees challan to the buffalo and say, you have to pay this 500 rupees for parking your body at the wrong place. Why? Because the traffic rules and regulations are not meant for the buffalo. It is meant for the humans. That is why dharmena vihina pashupir samana. If we give up these rules and regulations, then pashupir samana. And if you are a pashu, no problem, no rules and regulations. That is why being born as human, we should inquire what is dharma, what is brahman, who am I, etc., etc. That has to be inquired. Now instead of inquiring, we are just so busy in pursuits of these four things which are meant for animals. In pursuit for these four things, we are neither getting these four things also. Just imagine, we work about 12 to 14 hours a day to get two times food and a place to stay. The animal gets its free of cost. It doesn't work so much. You go and tell the animal you have to work 10 hours a day to get your food. tell your dog, it doesn't do, it gets its food. What we are getting after so much of hard work, the animal is getting free of cost. In spite of that, we make our arrangements for food and so many things, but still, we are not able to even enjoy those four things. We make nice, wonderful arrangements for sleeping, but we have to take sleeping pills. Have you ever seen their problems in the animal society which the humans have? Do you think the animals have the problems of financial problem? Have you seen a dog telling other dog, I've got some financial problem? Dog doesn't have any financial problem. Have you ever seen a pig saying that I got some family problem? It is a human who has created these things. So we are all trying to compete with the animals, but we are even failing to do that. Actually, we are not supposed to compete with the animals. But even though we are trying to do that, we are not failing in competing with animals. That is why human life is precious. That is why we have to inquire. What should be the inquiry? That is the next question. Oh, I have to inquire. Then what should I inquire? The scriptures say you should inquire for two things. All the inquiries in this world can be summarized into two things. What are they? Number one. What is the goal of life? This is the first inquiry. Number two, you may say, oh, what is the goal of life? You know, it's too philosophical. I am living today, I just want to enjoy today. Goal of life and all, it's too much for me. You may say that. But the second inquiry is very dear to our heart. We have to inquire the second thing. What is the second inquiry? In spite of all my hard work to enjoy, to be happy, why am I suffering? This is the second inquiry. Let us discuss about the first inquiry, the goal of life. Without a proper goal in life, our life is useless. If somebody is traveling in a car very fast, you go and ask him, my dear sir, where are you going? Don't ask me all these things, I want to go fast, but where? We don't know. You can ask anybody, where are you going? So I just don't know, I'm just going and working. Everybody is very busy. Without knowing the goal of life, everybody is busy. It is like a fast car. A car which is, you are driving very fast, but don't know where you are going. Without knowing the goal of life, our life becomes useless. We are called a mad person. That is why first we should know what is the goal. If you go near the station and ask a person, where are you going? What is this question you are asking? I am going to work. And you ask a person, why are you working? He says, I am working. What is this question you are asking? Without working, how will I earn? Then you ask him, why are you earning? And he says, what a question you are asking? Earning? Without earning, how will you eat? Then you ask a person, why are you eating? Then he will say, you have gone mad. What kind of questions you are asking? Without eating, how will I work? Then you ask him, why are you working? Without working, how will I earn? Without earning, how will I eat? Without eating, how will I work? So I work to earn, earn to eat, eat to work. In this way, the cycle goes on. I earn, work. I work, I earn. I earn, I eat. I eat, I work. I work, again earn. Earn, eat, work, earn, eat, work. In this way, there is a big cycle. And in between, some enjoyment. And enjoyment is actually a relief. Just some relief from the cycle is not a solution to the cycle. In between, you get this some time for enjoyment. That is actually a relief from the cycle of earning, eating, working, earning, eating. So there is a goal. There is a goal of life. Without the proper goal in life, our life is useless. You may say goal of life and all is too much for me. The second one is important. One has to inquire this question. What is that question? What is that inquiry? In spite of all my plans and hard work for happiness, why am I not happy? Why am I suffering? Here actually there are two questions. Seems to be the same. One is, why am I suffering? The other question is, what is the cause of suffering? Why am I not happy? How can I become happy? The cause of suffering and how I can become happy. Seems to be the same, but actually there is a lot of difference. The difference is this. Without trying to know what is the cause of suffering, you cannot get out of this suffering. Everybody in this world is suffering. And without trying to know the cause of suffering, you are trying to become happy. It is like without trying to know what is a disease, trying to take a medicine. When you go to a doctor, the first thing the doctor does is he diagnoses the disease. And then he gives the medicine. If he gives the medicine without diagnosing the disease, then the patient will become more sick. So this is the problem with us. Without diagnosing the cause of suffering, we are trying different means of happiness, means of enjoyment. I try out this means of enjoyment. No, this did not work. I go and try another means of enjoyment. It did not work. So we go on changing the means of enjoyment. We go on trying to try out different things which makes us happy. And the more we try out to become happy, the more miserable we become. That is the problem. The more miserable we are becoming. You see, this place or those people where they endeavor more for material happiness, they are more frustrated. If you go to a village, people are quite simple and quite happy. If you go into the cities that to go deeper in the South Bombay, and there they are very rich people, they have everything for their enjoyment, but they are most frustrated. They are committing suicide. Why? It is just like this. A deceased person, without knowing the disease, he's trying out different medicines in the medical shop. Maybe he may have a common cold, but he's taking medicine for cancer. Just imagine what would happen to him. You may say medicine for cancer is very wonderful, very good, very expensive. But still, that is not the medicine for common cold. Who knows? That is why, first, ask this question, the cause of suffering, before trying to find out how I can become happy. How I can become alright, that is later. First, why am I not alright? Why am I suffering? Why am I diseased? Diagnosis, that's important. And then, the question can be solved, how I can become happy. In this world, we are all expecting tomorrow and become happy. You ask anyone, say, just now some problems are there. I am just trying to do these things. After a few months, within 1 year, everything will be set, I'll be happy. And this thing goes on, lifelong. When a small kid, he goes to the school, he thinks such a horrible place this is. Morning you go and evening you come back, every day the teacher banging on my head, homework, you come home, the mother is also shouting at me. Every time exams, what is this? You have to wear a uniform and then go, but just see this college. Such a wonderful place. You can go anytime. You can come out anytime. You can wear any dress. If you want, you may go without wearing dress also. If you go to the colleges, in many of the colleges in Bombay, you really get you wonder, is it that there is some shortage of dress in the market? So this boy, this child going to the school is just thinking, wow, tomorrow I'll go to college and become happy, I'm suffering now. time goes by, this child passes out of the college. This boy passes out of the college and goes to a passes out of the school and goes to college. The very first day in the college, he's so happy. Everything is so nice. He can wear anything now. No uniform. Everybody made fun of the teacher. He was also part of it. And first period he attended, second period he bunked. School, it doesn't happen like that. So happy. One day it so happened that his friend bought a new motorbike. Because his friend got a new motorbike, this friend got a girlfriend. Then he started thinking, I am suffering because I don't have money. People are having so many things I don't have because I don't have money. Tomorrow when I pass out of the college and can go and get a job, I'll get a lot of money. Once I get money, I'll be the most happiest person. I'll become very happy. So tomorrow when I go to get a job, I'll become happy. Somehow he passes out of the college, gets a job. Very good job. 6 months training period. First month, he got a stipend of a lot of money he got, even for the stipend. His friend training period itself. He bought whatever he wanted. He gave some gifts also. He was on top of the world. Training period got over. First day in the job. He got an increment too. Very good package. Now he went to the office at 9 o'clock. 6 o'clock the office got over. He's about to go. His boss calls him and says, we got some work to do. Can you do this work? He says, okay, today timing is over. Tomorrow I'll do the work. The boss says, it is true, the time got over for Indian time. But now we have to start working for America now. Then it's a big shock. During the training period, this was not told. But now he has got a job. He's working from morning 9 o'clock till, who knows, sometimes 9 o'clock, sometimes 10 o'clock. He's just working. There's no rest. People are sucking blood out of him. He's earning a lot of money, but he's so frustrated, so much of anxiety, so much of tension. He gets that one Sunday for that he has to sleep on that day. At the time, he noticed one thing when he started earning money. Everybody were after his money. All his relatives, his friends, his parents. Oh, you are earning so much. You should give me this. You should get a house. You should get this thing. Then he started thinking, how nice was my childhood. When everybody used to love me, when I used to fall sick, people used to take care of me. Now nobody bothers, they are only bothered about my money. When I was not earning, people were interested in me. When I started earning, people became interested in my money. Nobody became interested in me. Actually, nobody loves me in this world. I am suffering in spite of all the money because there is no love in my life. When I find the love of my life, I'll become happy. So that is what he's thinking. Tomorrow, when I find the love of my life, I'll become happy. So when he was a small kid in the school, he was thinking, tomorrow when I go to college, I'll become happy. When he went to the college, he was thinking, tomorrow when I start earning, I'll become happy. When he started earning, he started thinking, when I get married, I'll become happy. So one day, the day came actually, he got married with great expectations. Tomorrow, after I get married, I'll become so happy. Now nobody can take away the happiness from me. I'll be the most happiest person. So somehow he got married. And after he got married, some change happened in his life. What was the change? When he was in the school, he had a hope, tomorrow when I go to college, I'll become happy. When he went to college, he had a hope, tomorrow when I start earning, I'll become happy. When he started earning, he had a hope, tomorrow when I get married, I'll become happy. But when he got married, he lost the hope. There is nothing like tomorrow. So this story is of everyone. The story is that of a donkey also. A dhobi had a donkey. This donkey was daily so much burdened with so much clothes, it had to carry all the way to the ghat. The donkey thought, I'll go on strike now. Now no more listening to my dhobi. Because daily after so much of hard work he is just feeding me dry grass. I want a carrot. Till he gives me a carrot, I'll go on strike. So then the dhobi understood. Next day the donkey was not moving. He took a stick and started beating. The dhobi understood this donkey requires a carrot now. He went inside, brought a carrot and dangled the carrot exactly in front of the donkey's face, donkey's mouth. He tied the carrot to a big pole, big danda, big stick, and tied the stick to the back of the donkey so that the carrot is dangling in front of the donkey's mouth. The donkey thought, now my strike became successful. Let me take one step ahead and eat that carrot. The donkey put one step ahead and then took the carrot. The donkey thought, what happened? The carrot went one step ahead. Donkey thought, maybe some eyesight problem is there. I will put one more step. This foolish donkey did not think, did not know that the carrot was tied to its stick, which is tied to the back, and every step the donkey would take, the carrot would go similarly one step ahead. Without knowing this, this donkey went on. Carried the entire load, expecting one more step, I'll get the carrot. The same way we're all thinking. Just one more month, everything will be nice. One more year, everything. Oh, I'm working hard on these things, everything will be set, I'll be the most happiest person. Just some problems are there, I'll solve it. This foolish donkey carried the entire burden, just trying to eat the carrot. The same way this donkey, the human donkey does the same thing. Bas hum honge kamyab ek din. When I was a small kid, I used to hear this song, and still the song is there. I used to wonder, when they used to sing that song, hum honge kamyab ek din, we'll become successful one day or the other. I wanted to hear the song, hum honge kamyab is din. We'll become happy and successful on this day. I would wait for that day. Ek din is like a very ambiguous statement. One day you will get $10 billion. Okay. It is better you say that this day I will get 100 rupees. Better, this is a good news than saying that one day you will get $10 billion. Which day? Nobody knows. So what is the use of the ambiguous statements? The same way our life is like this. Expecting one day something will happen and it's going on. Donkey's life. So, the cause of suffering has to be identified. Instead of trying to search out how I can become happy, find the cause of suffering. These are the two prime inquiries in life. The goal of life, number two, the cause of suffering. Now, when it comes to inquiry, inquiring into these two things, that means when you inquire, you get knowledge. When you inquire, you get knowledge. So, you should inquire at a proper source to get proper knowledge. The source of knowledge is known as epistemology. It is known as pramana. According to the Vedic literatures, there are three sources of knowledge. Pratyaksha Praman, Anuman Praman and Shabda Praman. Pratyaksha means perception, direct perception. I get knowledge by my senses. I use my senses, eyes, ears, skin, tongue. By these senses, I try to gain some knowledge. The modern scientific knowledge is pratyaksha pramana. And this pratyaksha pramana is full of defects. So many defects are there in pratyaksha pramana, but actually categorized into four. Because pratyaksha pramana means the knowledge gained by our senses, and the senses are having four defects. What are they? First one, imperfect senses. Our senses are imperfect. So the knowledge gained by the senses will be no more perfect than imperfect senses. For example, eyes. We can only see within the visible range, within the vidyar, violet to red. The ultraviolet rays, the infrared rays, we cannot see them. Our ears, they can only hear between 20,000 hertz to 20,000 hertz. But there are dogs who have better capacity to hear, they can hear to 50,000 hertz frequency. So to gain knowledge by the senses means our knowledge will be limited, because the senses are limited, imperfect. You may say, I may use some instruments, but ultimately, even though you are using instruments, who is perceiving? We are perceiving through the senses only. The imperfection may be reduced, but not be completely eradicated by our sensual perception. Pratyaksha pramana fails because of this. Second defect of senses, tendency to commit mistakes. They always commit mistakes. Even though we are very perfect, but sometime or other we have to commit mistake. Tendency to commit mistakes. Third, to be illusion. Our eyes and our senses, they have a tendency to be illusion. You take a glass of water and put a spoon in it, it looks bent. It is not bent, it looks so. Why? Because there is a tendency to be illusion. And ultimately, the fourth defect is to cheat and be cheated. Everybody in this world is cheating. You may say, I am not cheating, but you are cheated. Right from the sabjiwala in the market, till all the way to the politicians. Everybody in this world, they are cheating. Why they are cheating? Because there are many people who like to be cheated. We say, what is this? I don't like to be cheated. When you sit in front of the TV, advertisements come. What is this? What is advertisement? Advertisement is a big cheating industry. We say, how it is so? Because by the advertisement, they are convincing you to buy something which you don't require for their advantage. You are very peaceful. By mistake, you on the TV, you find new mobile, you don't have it, oh, your life is useless. You think, oh, it's true. I don't have this, so my life is useless. It's a big cheating industry. Right from the sabjiwala. Even in your education, science textbook, they cheat. Giving false knowledge. In the TV, on the name of entertainment, advertisement goes on. I met a director of one of the serials, famous serials which come in the TV. Which used to come or which is coming, I don't know. It is a very famous serial. The director told, I was talking different things, how you put it in the TV. He told, we think that there is an advertisement between the serial. That's actually, the serial itself is an advertisement. I asked him how. He told the clothes which the people wear in the serial, the furniture which is shown in the serial, it is exactly the same thing which is sold in the market. Like for example, there will be a There will be a scene which has got nothing to do with the story. One lady would come into other's house and she would say, please come and sit in the sofa. And she would look at the sofa and say, this sofa? It is old. She says, no, I bought it only 6 months back. She would say, no, no, no. We got a new sofa. It is so wonderful. No, it's too expensive. No, it's not expensive. You give the old sofa and get a new sofa. You'll get a very discounted price. And that is what is going on in the market. And they show it in the TV serial. As it is a serial, it is a story in entertainment. But it's actually cheating to suck your hard-earned money. So cheating. Where is proper knowledge? Pratyaksha Praman will never give you proper knowledge. Pratyaksha Praman means science, the modern science. The modern science is full of defects, so many defects. One theory after other theory, one theory after other theory. One scientist comes and says, according to me, this is, so other scientists will come and say, no, he's wrong, I am right. And we are proud to say the science is progressing. The very fact that the science is progressing proves that science is incomplete. If something is complete, what is the requirement for it to progress? Progress is for something which is incomplete. So since science is incomplete, that is why there is progress for science. If something is complete, why there should be any progress? There is no requirement of any progress. So pratyaksha praman fails. Pratyaksha means the knowledge perceived or gained by the senses are defective. Next is anuman praman. Anuman praman means I try to get knowledge from pratyaksha by the senses and try to use my intelligence and then try to rectify the knowledge. Intelligence means logic. I see the sun is football in shape and size. But I use my intelligence, the sun is so far away from the earth, that is why it looks like a football in shape and size, but actually it is many times bigger than the earth. Because it is far, it looks so. That means by the knowledge gained by the pratyaksha, you put the anuman, you put your logic and intelligence and understand and try to reduce the defects in the pratyaksha. But still anuman praman is also defective because the input is pratyaksha. So anuman praman, that means inference and perception, both are proved to be fallacies or wrong knowledge. Now, where to get the proper knowledge from? Where should I inquire from to get proper knowledge? I should inquire from Shabda Praman. And what is the Shabda Praman? Shabda Praman means Vedic literatures. The Vedic literatures give us the perfect knowledge. Vedic literatures are there from eternal time. From time immemorial, the Vedic literatures are there. But Vedic literatures were written down by Vyasa. Even if you consider the Vedic literatures are 5,000 years old, since then, not even a single sentence in the Vedic literatures are proved wrong. Not even a single verse have been proved wrong. If at all they have proved to be right. And many of them, they were not able to prove to be right. That is why they say, we don't know. Till date, nobody has proved a single sentence in the Veda to be wrong. But there are so many scientific theories which are proposed, they are all proved to be wrong. When I was studying in the school, we were taught there are 9 planets. The names of the 9 planets were written. Later on, a few years back, they proved that no, we have only 8 planets. No, we have only 14 planets. They are completely confused. If the question comes in the examination, what will the student write? What is the answer for it? Nobody knows. So, the scientific information given in the science books, it is wrong. If 20 years back what was known as science was proved to be wrong, now what is being taught as science today will be proved wrong after 20 years. So Vedic literatures, they are the perfect source of knowledge. They don't have any kind of inabilities because they are not written by any humans. The human beings, they are known as Purusha. Whereas Vedic literatures, they are Apaurushai. They are beyond Purusha, they don't have a human source. They have a divine source, that is why they don't have defects in them. The defects in the Vedic, there are no defects in the Vedic literatures because they are having a divine source. That is why we have to inquire into the Shabda Pramana, inquire into the Vedic literatures and get the answers for all our questions. The Vedic literatures are like manual for our life. Like when you buy a machine, along with the machine, you get a book that is a manual for the machine. When you get that book, which is a manual for that machine, if you don't read that manual and then operate the machine, you spoil that machine. In the same way, the Vedic literatures are the manual for our life. As much as without reading the manual of the machine, we spoil the machine when you operate that machine. In the same way, if we don't read the Veda and operate our life, we'll spoil our life. Very simple. You operate the machine without knowing the manual, you'll spoil the machine. You run the machine without knowing the manual. So if you run the life without knowing the manual for the life, you'll spoil the life. That is why we should know the Veda. The Vedic literatures, they're absolute. There are so many proofs for that. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives two proofs. According to the Vedic literatures, if you touch stool, it is inauspicious. But the same Vedic literatures say cow dung is very auspicious. Why? The cow dung. Now the scientists have taken it and then did a big research and then declared it has got so many antiseptic qualities in it. Many, many qualities. Whereas the Vedic literatures have told so many years back that the cow dung is very good. Why just not accept the Vedic literatures? Many years back it has been declared, this earth is Bhugola. It is like round and shape. But the credit goes to some other scientist. The Vedic literatures clearly say the plants and trees, they have life. But some other scientist gets the credit for it. If you have to give a Nobel Prize for this, Vyasa should get the Nobel Prize because he has written 5,000 years back. And Vedic literatures also talk about the predictions which are going to appear in future. 5,000 years back, Bhagavatam was written. In the Bhagavatam, appearance of Buddha is declared. Appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is declared. It predicts, Bhagavatam predicts, that Ashoka is going to come. Chandragupta will be there. Bhavishya Puran talks about the appearance of Jesus and Muhammad. This shows that Vedic literatures are perfect. So that is why we have to study the Vedic literatures. But now the question arises, okay, we'll study the Vedic literatures. How to do that? Before trying to know how to do that, we should know what exactly are they. We have heard about Veda so many times, but what exactly are they? Originally, the Vedic literatures were known as Shruti. They were never ever written down. Why? Because in that age, people had such a high capacity to memorize. Just by hearing once, they could memorize everything. That is why the Vedic literatures were known as Shruti. Shruti means something which has been heard and memorized. So that is why there was no requirement for any written format of Vedas. But Vyasaya, he knew in the age of Kali, Mandas Mandamatayo Mandabhagya Upatrataha. Mandas Mandamatayo. Manda means their intelligence is very less, memory is less. So what Vyasa do? He took all the Vedic literatures and put them into written format and divided one Veda into four. Rig, Sama, Yajur, Atharva. In all the Vedas put together, there are 1130 chapters. And in each chapter, there are four sections. Brahmanakas, Aranyakas, Samhitas and Upanishads. The Brahmanakas deal with how to live in a city. The Aranyakas deal with how to live in a forest. The Samhitas deal with how to chant the mantras for the glorification of the demigods and different devas. But the most important part of the Vedic literatures is Upanishads. Are the Upanishads. The Upanishads talk about how to get out of this world. Whereas the other literatures, other part of Vedic literatures talk about how to stay in this world. The purpose of getting an admission into an engineering college is to get out of the college. The purpose of getting into the best college in India, that doesn't mean I want to stay in the same college lifelong. So the purpose of the Vedic literatures is to get out of this material world. So the real knowledge which is there in the Vedic literatures, actually the essential knowledge is in the Upanishads. So the Upanishads are there, the essential form of the Vedic literatures. The most important part, the knowledge part of the Vedic literatures. So if somebody wants to say, no, I want to study Veda, very difficult. Not possible. Why? Because only 6% of them are left, 94% are lost. There are huge universities, Dalanda, Takshashila. Huge Vedic universities, they are put a fire, their libraries are burning for so many months and months together. So, just imagine. So many literatures during the Buddhist regime were thrown, the Vedic literature was thrown into the rivers. Now only 6% are left. So even if you want to study those 6%, it is not possible because our lifetime is very short, even for them. Even if you want to study them, you have to know the Vedic Sanskrit, which there is no teacher for now. No teacher is there who can teach you Vedic Sanskrit. These days what is being taught is colloquial Sanskrit, not even Puranic Sanskrit. Vedic Sanskrit is lost. That is why Krishna knew very well. The biggest problem for people in the age of Kali is no time. You ask something like that, no time. Always busy. For what? Ahara. I want to get my food. I want to make an arrangement for my sleeping arrangement. Bhaya. I want to have some security. Naitanamcha family. So, Krishna knew this is the problem in the age of Kali. So, he condensed the entire Vedic literature, especially the Upanishads, which are the knowledge part of the Veda. He compressed all the Upanishads, took the essence of the Upanishads, and then put them into one book called Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all the Upanishads. Shripad Shankaracharya explains, Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dugdha Gopal Nandana Partho Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gita Amritam Mahat. If you compare all the Upanishads to a cow, and the essence of the cow is the milk, Bhagavad Gita is that milk, Gita Amritam. Dugdham Gita Amritam. And who is the person who milked the cow of the Upanishads? Partho Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta. Dugdha Gopal Nandana. Krishna Gopal Nandana, he is the milkman who milked the cow of the Upanishads. And who is the first person to drink the milk? It is a calf. Partho Vatsaha. Partha means Arjuna, he is a calf. Who first drank the milk of the cow of the Upanishads and then gave it to Sudhir Bhokta. Sudhi means Bhagavad Gita is meant for those who have got purified intelligence. Those who got pure intelligence, they can enjoy Bhagavad Gita. Sudhir Bhokta, Dugdham Gita Amritam Mahat. This Bhagavad Gita is like Amrita, it's like nectar. That is why Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam. Let there be just one scripture, that is Devaki Putra Gita. That is Bhagavad Gita. The song sung by Devaki Putra, son of Devaki. If you have Bhagavad Gita, why you require any scripture? Kimanye Shastre Vistarehi. Why? Swayam Padmanabha Kodhiranam, because Krishna personally spoke this. Why you require any scripture? That is why I study Bhagavad Gita. The question arises, how to understand and study Bhagavad Gita? We can understand, we can study Bhagavad Gita only with the help of a guru. Without the spiritual master, you cannot understand Bhagavad Gita. If you want to learn karate, go to a teacher. You want to learn dance, you go to a teacher. You want to learn mathematics, engineering and medicine, you go to a college and learn it from a teacher. The same, if you want to learn Bhagavad Gita, you should go to a teacher. And now, the question arises, what are the qualifications of the teacher of Bhagavad Gita? The first and foremost qualification of the teacher of Bhagavad Gita is that he should be a devotee of Krishna. How to understand Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita itself. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has told Arjuna, Saivayam Yuga Prokta Puratanaha Bhaktosime Sakacheti Rahasyam Hirutamam. My dear Arjuna, I am telling this science to you because you are my friend and you are my devotee. Indirectly, Krishna is telling that this Bhagavad Gita is meant to whom? My friend and my devotee. So until unless one becomes a friend and a devotee of Krishna, nobody can understand Bhagavad Gita. So, one who has understood Bhagavad Gita, then only he can teach Bhagavad Gita. So the first and foremost qualification for a guru or a teacher of Bhagavad Gita, he should be a devotee of Krishna. He should belong to one of the four sampradayas. Brahma, Rudra, Shri, Kumara sampradayas. Sampradaya means the system, the procedure by which the complete knowledge, the absolute truth is given to us. Sampradaya. Sam means absolute truth. Pra means Patrishya Rupena means complete. Daya means to give. The system by which the complete, the absolute truth, the knowledge of the complete absolute truth is given to us. That's known as Sampradaya. It's a university. There are four universities. Brahma, University, Rudra University, Sri University, and Kumara University. So in the Guru Sishya Parampara, the knowledge is received by us without any breakage. So in this way, one has to, Guru means one who belongs to one of the four sampradayas, a devotee of Krishna. The second qualification of a Guru is that the Guru should be heavy. The meaning of the word Guru is heavy. Guru means heavy. Heavy with what? He should be heavy with spiritual knowledge. For everything what he speaks, there should be a support from the scriptures. The second qualification. The third qualification of a spiritual master is that he should have control over his senses. Without control of the senses, nobody can be a spiritual master. And the fourth qualification of a spiritual master is he should practice what he preaches. Not just speak and go away, he should practice it. At the same time, there are some qualifications of a student of Bhagavad Gita. That is what? First one. The first qualification of a student of Bhagavad Gita is he should be inquisitive. Without having the quality of inquisitiveness, nobody can be a student of Bhagavad Gita. Should I inquire? Like Arjuna inquired. Not just we approach the spiritual master, oh Gurudev, please bless me. Spiritual master's blessing is his teachings. Like for example, you send your son or a daughter to the school and he or she comes back, you ask, oh my dear, what did you learn in the school? What did your teacher teach you? Your son says, oh my dear mother, today my teacher is such a good teacher, she gave me very nice blessings. Mother says, what did you learn? Well, she did not teach anything, she gave me a blessing. Will you send your child to the school again? No. You send your child to the school to learn from the teacher. Teacher is meant to teach and a student is supposed to learn. Not that just get blessings and go away. Just so easy to bless. Lift your hand over. Teach it is difficult. But especially in India, we have many disciples who just want blessings. They don't want to hear Bhagavad Gita. And similarly, they get so many gurus who don't want to teach, who want to only bless. So blessings are going on, receiving blessings are going on, and some donations, dakshina is also coming, nicely going on. There is no Bhagavad Gita. There is no spirituality. So the first and foremost quality of a student is that he should be inquisitive. The second is he should be humble. The third is he should be devotee of Krishna, and ultimately fourth is service attitude. And a disciple has got service attitude, then the knowledge received will be transformed into realization. Without proper service attitude, no knowledge will be transformed into realization. Knowledge becomes realized knowledge by service. So in the Bhagavad Gita there are five subject matters. Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala and Karma. Ishvara means the Supreme Lord. Jiva means the living entity. Prakriti means material nature. Karma, activities which are performed under the modes of nature by the influence of time, ultimately Kala. These are the five subject matters. We'll be dealing with these five subject matters in the coming 7 days, including today. Tomorrow we are going to talk about soul, that is the second subject matter of Gita. Today we just gave an introduction to Gita. So I request tomorrow all of you to bring your friends and relatives for all the programs which happens right from morning till evening. Morning 7 o'clock we have a special program, music classes, bhajan classes for children. Evening 4 to 6 we have sloka competitions tomorrow. 6 to 7:30 we have Bhagavatam, 7:30 to 8 we have presentation by children. 8 to 9:30 we have this class on Bhagavad Gita course. Tomorrow we are going to talk about science of soul, who am I? Ultimately, 9:30, it's already 9:30 now I suppose. We have drama by children every day. So at least, to bless the children, you should come and take advantage of this Hare Krishna festival. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. So now the drama will start. You can take one.